Sports Ethos New York Knicks podcast, Andre Gallagher. A couple days away from that big win in Golden State. You heard me talk about it right before the game. That game was winnable, especially since Golden State wasn't playing well at home. Something I didn't mention, but especially since Golden State really schematically beat the Knicks last game. You saw an opportunity for there to be adjustment in this game, and the Knicks actually, you know, had a chance to win it, even though you didn't expect the victory. That's why this victory was so sweet. And every time they beat a relatively good team without all of their players, especially keeping pace with the Cavs, who were able to pull out a big victory against the Pacers that same night so they can keep pace with them. Every time they beat one of these teams, it's a huge victory. And you got to give Tibbs credit. It's time, and I'll say it, you know, just because I might criticize Tibbs sometimes doesn't mean that I think he should be replaced as coach. I don't think a lot of people, it's like you offer a criticism towards a coach and there's an assumption that you want the coach fired. There's no coach in the league who's perfect. None. Even Popovich. There's no coach in the league who's perfect. There's always room for improvement. And sometimes the things that you think should improve aren't necessarily things that should be improved. That's just your perspective on the game. All in all, Tibbs has done a great... Listen, how can you... And I guess I haven't spent enough time talking about it on the show. How can you do anything but give him credit for this season and where they are? And I'm so sick and tired of you people comparing records. Not that it would be, you know, not that they would fall short in these comparisons, but stop comparing teams season to season in terms of their record. Let me rephrase that. Stop comparing records season to season. The record is a reflection not just on how good you are. If you were a 55-win team last year and you're a 25-win team now, then yes, that's a huge drop-off. But the league changes season to season. Your competition changes season to season. The Eastern Conference this year is not the same as last year. And no need to get into better or worse. The point is they're not the same. So you're not comparing apples to apples. You're comparing apples to oranges. They're two different seasons, two different sets of competition. All right? So don't compare the records. Compare the teams. How good is your team relative to their competition? That's what's relevant, and the record doesn't always reflect that. Because you could be playing in a real... Look at Denver. Does anyone think that Denver can't win a championship this year? Does anyone feel that way? You think Denver's sitting around comparing their record to last year? No, they're trying to get the number one seed. Whatever that record is to get the number one seed, that's all that matters. All right? You want to look at the stats where you are rebounding-wise and defense? Sure. All of those things can be pretty much right on point when you're comparing them season to season. You could say, well, you know, you don't say, okay, they had a defensive rating of fifth in the league last year, and now it's eighth in the league, so they're terrible defense. Like, you don't do that. But yeah, if they were top 10 last year and now they're, you know, top 25, then yes, that again, when you're talking about extremes, then it's relevant. But when you're just talking about plus or minus a handful here or there, what's the point in doing that? That's just an exercise in futility. There's no point in it. The Knicks situation this year is different than their situation last year. The Knicks team this year is different than their team last year. What's the point of comparing? And I've seen some of you comparing going back, you know, 3-4 years. Oh, they were the fourth seed, you know, in 2021. Like, who cares? The Atlanta Hawks are trying to make the play-in team, the play-in this year as a team. And you're talking about the fourth seed 3 years ago when they played the Hawks as a fifth seed. Come on. Focus on right here, right now. And what this team is right here, right now. And this team right now is winning games that you should not, with any objectivity, expect them to win. And you got to give them credit, and that falls to the coach. And all of the platitudes that the Knicks are getting for their culture and their hard play and their hard work, it goes to Tibbs. It starts with Tibbs. Give him credit. There are other coaches that have strong arguments for coach of the year, but in the truest sense of the award, Now, the way the award is usually given, it's when the media collectively decided that that team was X and it turned out to be Y, right? Meaning the media decided that this team wasn't going to be good and then they were good. So you say, oh, look how great the coach was. But sometimes the team should have been considered to be better than you thought they were. All right. So it's kind of like the tail wagging the dog there. Like you're creating a great coaching scenario or a great coaching situation that didn't really exist. That was a talented team. In this particular case, though, and as it should be every year, when you see a team, not, oh, they weren't supposed to be good. No, don't be stupid. They've lost a big chunk of their roster for a large portion of the season, literally half the season. They have lost people, could not play, and they are still, as of today, the fourth seed with a chance to be the third seed. Still. And again, coming into the season, prognostication, you should throw it out the window because, again, just because you have an expectation doesn't mean that that was the realistic expectation of that team. You did not go into this season thinking the Knicks were a top three team. But I'm pretty sure you could roll back the tape on me and plenty of other people who would argue that the Knicks were, I shouldn't say plenty, but a good bunch of other people who would argue the Knicks were the fourth or fifth best team in the conference. And a lot of that stuff has shaken out differently because of injuries and unexpected teams. Teams unexpectedly being poor, like the Hawks. Again, you keep expecting more from the Hawks, and every year they fall on their face. Miami, I was right and wrong about Miami. I said that Miami lost pieces, and I don't understand why people think Miami's going to be better with all of the pieces that they lost. I don't understand why you people think they're going to be a better team in the regular season just because they went to the finals. They lost pieces that were important to their finals run. And to this day, I still think people underrate what Kyle Lowry did. Kyle Lowry single-handedly won playoff games. And you guys act like it's all Jimmy Butler. Kyle Lowry won playoff games with his big intangible plays. And obviously he was on the team this year. You don't expect a lot from him in a regular season. But they, you know, the same thing with Gabe, the same thing with Strus, you know, but Hawkes came in here and I know a lot of college guys may have liked Hawkes, but I don't think the average NBA guy thought Hawkes would come in here and have the effect on the team that he's had this year. And it's been a huge effect on the team. And the team still isn't as good as most of you thought they were going to be. So I was right in the sense that the Miami wasn't going to be as good as y'all thought. But wrong in the sense that Jaime came in here and kept this team and is helping keep this team afloat. They're still in the mix. You know, the standings are really, really close. Everything can turn around. Everything I'm saying right now could be dead wrong in a week. But as of right now, there's no reason to say Miami's a better team over the course of a regular season than the Knicks were coming into the season. Now, you want to say what happens in the playoffs is a different animal. Yeah, we all agree with that. But if we're talking about the standings, there's no reason to think Miami was going to be better than the Knicks. A reasonable person put the Knicks top five. And here they are sitting at four. You just got to give them credit. Now, we talked about this Golden State game, and one thing I want to point out is because Jaylen's been getting a lot of praise all the way around. People starting to see, and it started a while ago, people starting to see how good this guy really has been. He's been awesome carrying his team. I don't sit around talking about Jaylen enough on this show because, to be honest, everybody talks about Jaylen. I guess I can sit here and do a show once a week just to tell you how great Jalen Brunson has been. You know, I just don't know if that's what people need to hear. You're hearing a lot of people give him credit now, and you know, I'm very happy for him. I'm happy for the franchise that he's here, but you know, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it because there's nothing that I'm going to say that you haven't heard in terms of praise that you haven't heard already. But that doesn't mean that I don't have that same praise for him as I do. You know, I as a Knicks fan, I love him. I love him with all of my heart. But we talked about how teams had been blitzing and trapping him. And a few weeks ago, it was becoming a problem because of how he attacked it and how the Knicks attacked it. And the Knicks have gotten so much better at attacking those traps. And you heard Draymond Green on his podcast break down, you know, how trapping players usually rushes them and it doesn't rush Brunson. And you heard me on the show saying that Brunson has to make quicker decisions sometimes. Now, I talked about all of the different things that Brunson was doing to attack those traps. Now, I'm not going to go into it again. But sometimes, he needs to get the ball out faster because the play is for a faster pass. And he does that sometimes. He's been doing everything he needs to do to attack these traps. But one thing that Draymond said, and I wanted to bring it up, was that you can't be rushed and sped up every time when someone traps you in the NBA. You have to keep your composure, and Jalen has done that as well. And it's possible that some of the times that I think that Jalen is holding the ball too long, it's just him, you know, taking his time and making sure he's making the right pass. But weeks ago, it wasn't turning out well. But now everything he's doing is working for the most part. And the Knicks came into this game making an adjustment. And I talked about this weeks and weeks ago with all of the, you know, assuming healthy players on the roster, when the team is at full strength, the Knicks have a lot of tools in the toolbox. They can do a lot of things and play a lot of different ways. And I had a concern as to whether or not Tibbs would actually use all of the tools in his toolbox, or would he be married to playing certain players and go down with the ship. And I still think that's a concern, but throughout this little stretch of injured player games, he has done that for the most part. Sometimes it might have been a substitution I would have made that he didn't make, but that doesn't mean it was the right play. But he has done that for the most part. And you saw an adjustment from the first Golden State game to this game. The biggest one was putting Miles McBride in the game instead of Precious Achiuwa. That was the biggest one. And we all know it now because Miles scored 29 points and was absolutely awesome. And he guarded Curry like few people in the league are capable of doing. So give him all the credit in the world. Have a moment of silence and praise and respect Deuce McBride for being a baller in this game and being the biggest reason why they were able to pull this game out. But you saw Tibbs make a huge adjustment, something that you didn't necessarily expect him to make. Because think about it. One of the reasons why IQ didn't start a shooting guard, and I went into this ad nauseum about him starting a shooting guard would actually just lead to other players playing less minutes, and those players needed to play too, right? But some of the reason why he didn't start a shooting guard was because it made the Knicks too small. But I said this on the show. I said sometimes you are concerned about the Knicks being too small without that actually being the case in that particular moment or in that particular game. So how about you make that decision when the Knicks actually are too small, as opposed to just assuming they're going to be too small, right? So because there have been games where, and I'm not talking about just changing the starting lineup, but there are games where you could have played more minutes with IQ as shooting guard, and he didn't play shooting guard because, you know, for whatever reason, he thought they were going to be too small. That was pretty much the main reason why IQ didn't play more, if not, you know, needing heart in the game or, you know, other factors, other players playing better in that particular game or having matchups. Like, it was size. But sometimes size wasn't the reason, that wasn't a factor in that game. So you wanted to see an adjustment there. You wanted to see him roll with the punches there as opposed to, you know, painting by numbers, his numbers, but painting by numbers and not being fluid in game. And he wasn't necessarily fluid in game in the first Golden State game, but the Knicks didn't make any shots. So what can you say about that? But in this game, he said, you know what? I'm going to start the 6-foot Deuce McBride. They're a small team. We can be small. Let's go out there and we'll match up with them and we won't worry nothing about it. He didn't just, hey, we're just going to keep doing what we've been doing. It's been working for the most part. We held opponents to 80 points for three straight games and an opponent to 91 points. Nah. Let's go out there. Let's give them a different look so we have a chance to score enough points to win this game. And they need to score a bunch of points to win this game. They didn't hold Golden State to under 100 points like a lot of other opponents. As well as they played, Golden State still scored over 100 points. But seeing Tibbs adjust, being fluid, using all the tools in his toolbox, and then credit to Deuce being ready, that's a promising sign. It really is. A promising sign. Now, what's it going to be when Randall comes back and all that? Who knows? But having success, rolling the dice, doing something different, it can only be a good thing. So now you're talking about 3-0 so far in this four-game road trip. Denver, they played a tough game against Minnesota. Last night, the Knicks have been off since early this week. You know, they have, extra game off, extra couple days off. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But the Knicks have a chance. That's all you want is a chance to win this game. But if they don't, they don't. Okay. You come back on Saturday, you play Brooklyn, and you take care of business. And if they go 3-1 on this road trip, you could not have asked for more. And then you saw, it's funny because we talked about this last show, you saw Ian Begley report that Mitchell Robinson should be back before the end of the month. It is the end of the month. So Mitchell Robinson is around the corner. They also said Randall would be back before the end of the month, but he didn't report that. I'd rather have Randall back first than Mitchell. I talked about that a few weeks ago. Randall got to get his timing together. Mitchell just created a logjam at the center position. This is going to be interesting when he comes back. You know, this is going to be interesting. Now, Mitchell Robinson put out on his little IG stories that he'd rather come off the bench. Good! 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 If I'm Tibbs, I'm like, yeah, okay. Say less. Let's not beat our head against the wall, man. Don't force him into the starting lineup. Now with Hartenstein back on his grind, he looks good out there now. And you saw Fred Katz say the same thing that I've been saying. He's been playing at half speed, and he's starting to look better now. Starting to look more like January Hartenstein. You saw Fred Katz report. Come off the bench, man. And one of the things he said is that he can do more with the second unit. Okay, do more with the second unit then. Good. Be more aggressive. Be Grimes. Remember when Grimes was ultra aggressive as soon as he got to the second unit? Telling you that it was all mental with him. Just like with Dante going off with the starters, told you that all of that nonsense about Grimes just not getting opportunities because he's with the starters was all BS. It was all him. And Grimes went to Detroit and he's been bad in Detroit. And I'm not rooting against Grimes. You all know that. He was bad in Detroit. He's been bad. Fournier's been better in Detroit. Now, I am concerned about Dante. You can assume that Dante's a little tired, been a little worn down. He's never played this many minutes. He's never played this much for anyone. He hit a couple shots. You know, he's just not. And he's still making good defensive plays. He's doing what he needs to do. He's not as prolific from three as he was before. You know, you want to see him get his legs back a little bit. Like I said, a few games off here. Very helpful for the Knicks. Then they play on Thursday or tomorrow, and then they don't play again until Saturday, and they're coming home, so they get another day off. So maybe everybody starts to get their legs back and get ready for their stretch run. Hopefully Mitchell comes back. Like I said, it's creating a little bit of a logjam. You kind of want to see Randall come back, because now you can get some sense of what the rotation is going to be. The situation with OG, apparently his elbow started to feel a little bit better. That's good news. A lot of people saying rest OG until the playoffs. That's just not how that usually works. That's how fans who sit on their couch, watch TV, that's how they say things. You got to get these guys in the game. You got to get them playing, get a rhythm. Can't just make him appear in the playoffs and think everything's going to be hunky dory, especially with Randall being in a similar situation. You know, you want to try to X out as many variables as possible, get him out there, get him cooking. So this Denver game coming up, man, it's house money. So have fun watching this game. And if they lose, don't get bogged down with how the sausage is made. I keep telling you, if you're going into a game where you're likely to lose the game and you lose it, don't get bogged down with how you lost. Like, that's what, you know, that's what good teams do to you when you lose. They make you make bad plays, and you know, the shots that you sometimes make, you don't make. You know, the plays that you sometimes make, you don't make. They score when you don't expect them to, you know. But they have a chance, have as good a chance as any. The Knicks are one of the few teams that actually have a center who can, just like in a Sabonis game, who can provide some pushback to a great post player. You can't stop Joker. All you can do is hope to make him miss a shot or two. And I'd rather Joker score 35 points and not spray the ball around hitting cutters and open three-point shooters. So let Joker do what he's going to do. This is not like some innovative strategy I'm talking here, but Hartenstein is probably going to hit a little bit of foul trouble. You know who played Joker okay a little bit, if I remember correctly, without looking at the game, Phil? I feel like Sims didn't get worked over by Joker as much as you thought he would. I thought Sims provided just enough pushback when he's played Joker before. I could be wrong. Precious is showing that he's not really strong enough to guard these big guys. Sabonis is obviously half the size of Joker, and he's very strong, though, but he pushed Precious around. You assume the same thing's going to happen, and I'm rooting for Precious to, you know, maybe, you know, play a little bit better against these guys, but he's not a natural center. He has said that. So, and Mitchell's not going to pop up against his Denver game. So, I mean, I think Mitchell actually did a decent job when he played Joker 2 last. Decent. And when I say decent, that's all I mean, because most people can't do a decent job on Joker. And a decent job still means he's going to shoot over 50%, but it's just not going to be easy as it is with a lot of other guys. And I think the Knicks have enough horses and dogs to slow down Jamal Murray. It's not going to be a Brunson Murray matchup. I know you guys understand that. And so the issue is going to be Michael Porter Jr. can shoot over every single person on the court against the Knicks, and he's been shooting the ball very, very well. So if he shoots the ball well and he's aggressive, he's going to kill the Knicks if you give him any looks. He doesn't care if you're around the area. He's just going to raise up and shoot. So you got to make him not want to shoot on the catch, which he's probably going to do anyway. So if he's on, he's going to cook. And the last game I saw Denver play against Minnesota last night, Aaron Gordon was a lot more aggressive. I think Precious is probably going to start again. It's interesting, though, right? Do you just ride the hot hand with Miles McBride? No, I mean, it's a different animal against Denver. They're a bigger team. So, you know, you're probably going to see Precious come back in the starting lineup. That's what makes the most sense. But I can see rolling the dice and playing with house money with Miles McBride if you want to. But if Precious is in the game, he should be able to slow down Aaron Gordon being a little bit more aggressive. He's not necessarily a natural scorer, but he was in attack mode in that Minnesota game. It almost seemed like Joker was playing a little bit of a backseat in the first half, at least. So I don't think Aaron Gordon is going to get off. He's going to make his, you know, typical intangible and hustle plays and get his cuts and putbacks and offensive rebounds, stuff like that. But he's, you know, he shouldn't dominate the game, not with Precious. Now, you know, I think when it comes down to it, if you can slow down a lot of Denver's actions and blow up their actions, like the Knicks are known to do, you can make the game come down to Jamal Murray being a hero, and of course Joker being a hero. Now, when Joker's a hero, he's going to score 50 points. I mean, what are you going to do about it? But Jamal Murray, you know, he can run hot and cold, and the Knicks have good perimeter defenders, and they can maybe slow him down. So there is a chance here. There is a chance here. You know, I think on the offensive end, I think you're going to see Aaron Gordon probably end up on Jalen a bunch of times. But what are they going to do? They're going to run a lot of screen action. They're going to run a lot of screen action and try to get Aaron Gordon off. You know, so we'll see how it goes. I can't wait for the game. Low key, this is a big night tonight. You got Milwaukee playing Boston, and Giannis is not playing. Last I saw, he's not playing. So unless Boston punts the game, which they could do, that's a game that Boston can win. I don't think people realize the Knicks are only 3 games behind Milwaukee. So let me not just say Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Cleveland 2-3 seed thing, you're chasing two teams. They're like 3 games behind Milwaukee, something like that, and 2 games behind Cleveland. They're very much in the mix for getting two or three. It could be Cleveland and the Knicks. It could be the Knicks and Bucks. It's there. It's attainable. It's in the area. So that's a big game. If the Knicks could pull one out in Denver, you might see Milwaukee take a L to Boston, and then one step closer to Boston. I'm sorry, to Milwaukee, and then the Cavs play Miami. Miami's playing for their lives. They're okay. I'm sure if they make it to the play-in, they're gonna do everything they can to win. But they almost lost in the play-in last year. People forget they don't want to be in the play-in. They want to be in the top six. They're playing hard. Donovan Mitchell is out. We got Miami and Cleveland. You got a chance here to move within one game of Cleveland and what? Basically 2 games from Milwaukee. The opportunity is there. So it's a big night tonight. I see the news just came down. I said earlier that is the chances of Mitchell playing in Denver is something none. They still are, but Mitchell is practicing, full practice. He's back. He's back. Assuming there's no setbacks. I said it earlier. Ian Begley said he'd be back before the end of the month. It's the end of the month. I said it. I just said it. It's the end of the month. What are we waiting for? We here. And the news breaks today that he's practicing. So Mitch is on deck. He's on deck. Now, I said it before. If you had to choose between the two, Randle, you'd want to see Randle back before Mitch because Mitch kind of causes a logjam, but don't be mad that Mitchell Robinson's back. Let's not be stupid. And I may not have stressed that enough earlier. Mitchell Robinson just makes you better. It makes you not have to depend on Jericho Sims, who's clearly not ready to be consistent. All right, now you know Mitch is gonna be out of shape. It's gonna take him a minute, all of this, all of that. It also makes you not have to depend on Precious being the backup center. And I wanted to touch on this earlier, piggybacking on something that Scott Labrine said about maybe running a three-man rotation at the center position, and everybody plays a little bit here, a little bit there, and how big men don't have to get into the flow the way wings and guards do. And I wouldn't argue with Scott Labrine, who played the position, played in the league, and this is something that a player would know. But the one thing I would say is that Precious seems to play better when he plays more. And you see the best of Precious when he's in the game consistently. That's what we've seen as a Knick. And him playing part-time duty at backup center hasn't exactly been flawless. Now, we talked about him getting better and better and better at the backup center position and how he started off slow and how he figured the position out. And he has, but you seem to see the best of Precious when he's playing 35, 40 minutes or playing damn near the whole game, which he had to do a little bit in this stretch. You saw the best of him at that backup center position. Playing backup center, there was a point in that Sacramento game where he had to come out. Hartenstein had to come back in. He had to match Hartenstein's minutes with Sabonis' minutes because he wasn't good enough at the position. Precious, you don't see the same Precious when he doesn't play the same minutes in that he was playing before. That's a factor. That's a factor. But Precious is, it's kind of a conundrum because as a center, he's better offensively. You get the better version of his offensive game when he's playing center than you do when he's playing power forward. But at power forward, he was almost playing defense on an elite level at power forward. But the offense isn't good enough at power forward. So we'll see how it goes. But you start seeing these pieces come back into the fold down the stretch of these games, and you can't be mad at it. Make sure you follow at Sports Ethos on Twitter, at Ethos Knicks. Until next time.